Look, I know one of the biggest bonuses of a podcast is being able to skip through things you don't want to hear about, but I would encourage you just to sit tight for just a second, because as the war in Ukraine enters month three, it's hard to believe it's been that long, and you watch all the stories of families being displaced and lives being shattered, and you think, man, that's really sad. I wish there was something I could do about it. Here's the cool thing. You and me and all the potties could get together and actually maybe make a difference by helping families in Ukraine who have been displaced by all this violence. There's nearly 11 million people that have been forced out of their homes. And imagine that. You can't take everything with you. You've got to just pick and choose the few things you can carry as you try to get your family to safety. They say desperate times calls for desperate measures. Well, these are desperate times. That's why The Wally Show is partnering with Food for the Poor and 3,500 pastors in Ukraine and surrounding countries to help feed these people. And here's what's really cool. You can provide a meal for 25 cents, a quarter what we plug into a gumball machine. You could actually feed a child a meal. So now do some math with me. Your gift of a dollar would actually feed a family of four. Your gift of $10 sends 40 meals. Your gift of $25 will feed 100 people who desperately need it. So while this is a really sad story on the world stage, it is really cool to see the difference that a few motivated potties could make. So text the word WALLY to 91999. That's WALLY, W-A-L-L-Y, to 91999. And we'll send you a link to make a difference today. Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast. All the stuff we did not get to during the course of the show today, including an update on the Mike Tyson airline fight.
Where
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You remember that story? He punched a guy.
And then, like, the guy had, like, some cuts on his face.
There's a little update to that we're going to get to. But first, I'd much rather talk about things that fellow potties send in and emails that I get from them. And this is a really interesting one. It says, hey, Wally. I'm a very long-time listener here from the Total Access days. I'm a faithful potty. I save up podcasts and aftercasts to listen to so I never run out. I'm back a little ways on March 18th, and you guys were talking about how perhaps everyone in the world is crazy except for you, and maybe they need therapy. That's what I was saying. Like, because people try to tell me, or a person tries to tell me that I need therapy. One, just one. I need therapy, and I'm like, I don't know. Maybe I don't think I do. I think I'm pretty good. I think it's the rest of the world that is the problem. And that was my take on it. And she says, I have to tell you, that is so true. I relate to you the most, and I've always felt that exact same sentiment. I'm fine with the way I am. People need to get out of my face and let me be.
Okay, you know what this reminds me of?
I love it so much.
You know what this reminds me of?
What is that?
Someone who would say, you know what? This is my truth, and you need to adapt to my truth because it's my truth.
Right.
And that's the kind of stuff that you can't stand.
I hate it when it's someone else's truth.
Exactly. You're doing the same thing you said you hate.
I'm not verbalizing my truth, but I'm just like, yeah, just don't tell me I need something. Then I'm like, I'm good. I'm fine. You know, I feel okay. I feel at peace with myself.
Okay, but do you admit?
Yes, what?
That when you say these things, yes. Like, no, I just need to get out of my face, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. That is, in essence, you saying that is my truth.
I can
and
see
you need to adapt to my truth.
I can see how you
would
perceive it that way. Yes, I could see that.
Can you see how others would, too?
Maybe. I don't know. Well, phrased like she phrased it, absolutely. Absolutely. I do see that.
You are saying.
But here's the interesting thing, though. She says, I recently was diagnosed with breast cancer, and I'm undergoing the first of 20 chemotherapy treatments right now. And I'm embarrassed to say this, but I'm actually already tired of other women trying to counsel me and connect me with other women who have gone through this, and I find it really tiresome. This is interesting to me because it sounds like me and this lady are wired the same way, and I emailed her back and kind of shared some of this with her. Like, I totally get this. Like, in my head, I know that I'm strong enough to face whatever is coming at me, and I can deal with it. Like, I don't need other people's viewpoints, opinions, advice, you know, to handle stuff like big things. Like, I'm wired that same way. And like, cause I don't want to have the conversation. Well, maybe you should do this. Maybe you should try this. And this would be helpful for you, you know, and it comes out of the best place and the kindest of hearts for people. But like, I don't want to have that awkward conversation of, well, I disagree with that. Or I'd rather just hunker down and focus on my thing and get through it the way I know I can get through it, kind of thing.
Well, that just takes an honest conversation.
Yeah.
Her having that conversation with someone who's trying to hook her up with someone else who's walking through a similar situation. But usually someone in her case would want to have someone that they knew was going through the same thing or had gone through the same thing. That's typical.
Right.
But she is...
She's not wired that
way. She's not, and that's okay.
Right.
It just would take that honest conversation and coming across as like not thinking you're better than or stronger than someone who does care to have someone on their side that is going through this.
Yeah, like I think that for some people, it's just like therapy. I think for some people, the way that they walk through something is with other people and they need that. And I don't think that that's weak. I'm not saying it's weak. I'm just saying like, I'm not wired that way. And it's nice to hear like some other lady that's like, yeah, I'm not wired that way either. Like I would not respond well to that. I would be kind and polite. Like, oh, hey, thank you. I'll think about that. Thank you. I appreciate that. But for me, I'd rather just solely focus and just do me kind of thing. You know, it's like, it's kind of like in this job, like I don't listen to other people's radio shows, you know, for the most part. Every once in a while, if I'm on vacation, I'll jump around and see what people are doing. But I don't want to be influenced by anybody else. I want to just do what we do kind of thing. And I don't want people to, oh, you stole that bit from so-and-so or whatever. Like I want everything that we do to just be from us kind of thing. And so like, I don't seek out other input. I don't seek out a lot of input in my life, actually. You know, there are a few things I think about, like things that I don't know. Like if I don't know how to do something, I will definitely ask, you know, like when I'm building something or what have you. But the things that I feel confident in, yeah, I don't want outside opinions or viewpoints or anything like that. So anyway, it was kind of interesting. I like that.
You have more kindred stubborn spirits.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing wrong with it. I like this lady. Betty Rock just went mute all of a sudden.
We just have differing opinions, and that's okay.
It's okay. Mm-hmm. What's your opinion?
No. Well, because we've gone over this before.
Okay. Is it people need other people?
Yeah, I think that's just human nature. We're built for community.
But what does it say though? And like kind of like people who are very analytical. And so faith is difficult. We had a call today on the podcast. If you've already listened to that, you'll hear that. But like people that are analytical, it's very hard for them to step out of that and have the faith component of their faith, you know, which is it's difficult. And it's the same thing. Like if we always say, oh, we're built for community. But then if you don't feel that, you're like, oh, what's wrong with me? Or why do I not need that, you know, or why, or is there something wrong with me that I don't feel that I need that, you know, kind of thing.
So what's the question?
I don't even know.
Oh, okay.
Is it okay to be that person?
Yeah, like when you don't feel like everybody else kind of thing. And is it wrong to not be in community kind of thing?
I think, and this is just my personal opinion because you're asking for it.
Absolutely. That's why we do this. I want to know.
I believe that we're all built for community. And I think if you don't feel that pull towards community, then there might be something you do need to check in yourself. I personally.
Sure.
Because I just got done reading an article about how loneliness has become prevalent in our society. And that loneliness has a lot to do with, it can affect our health, make us more susceptible to stroke, to depression, anxiety, heart attacks, things like that. And I think it just goes back to Jesus built us for community. Even he needed community. He had 12 disciples. And so sometimes, and this is my human nature probably coming out and thinking this, being judgy and saying, you don't want community because you think you're better than everyone else or you're too prideful and don't want to come down to someone else's level that you think isn't good enough for your company kind of thing. Now, I'm not saying that's right. It might be right for some people's cases. I'm not saying it is for everybody. But I'm saying if you're saying, I don't need people in my life. I don't need people to tell me what it is I can and can't do.
Sure.
That might be more of a pride issue and something you need to work on in yourself.
There's an element to pride of that, too, of like, I believe that I have like the right answer for me kind of thing. And I don't necessarily need
your
other
truth?
Input. My truth, fine. but then there's another element of not wanting to live in community because then you end up taking on other people's mess and you've got to get messy with them kind of thing.
Which is okay.
Yeah,
to do.
Yeah,
for some people.
I used to be like that though, but now I don't want that anymore.
But what are we going to sit down? I feel like we have to sit down and determine what we think community actually looks like. Because for some people, community could mean four people that they love and they care for. Jesus had like the three disciples.
He only had 12.
He considered his best friend. Then he had 12. Right. And then he had other people who followed him. Like, I would only say that I have about four or five people that I'm like, oh, these are my inner circle people. Right. And then the rest of people do get a smaller amount of time from me, and I don't get to pour into them as much. Like,
that's a good point.
There's my friends, and then there's you two. You two are the... I spend more time with you guys than I do my wife every day, basically, just because she gets home later now. So it all depends on what we actually think community means. Community could also mean, like, I think of community as being, like, I go to church, and that's a community they see, but I only see them one day a week.
Yeah, I don't see community that way. I see community as, like you were talking about, your inner circle.
Yeah.
Just because I think all of us, some of us are introverts, some of us are extroverts. If you're an extrovert, you want more people around. Mm-hmm. If you're an introvert, you don't want as many people around, and you're very selective.
Yeah,
and that's understandable. That's okay. I think that's good to know where your boundaries are. But when I say the word boundaries, I think that's what's important. I think a lot of us, including me, have a hard time with boundaries. So I have to be selective. I have to be careful with who I do let in my inner circle, because there are those people that I will allow to drain me. And I typically, as a 9, I have a hard time with empathy. I can put myself in people's shoes, and that will drain me physically and mentally. And I know as an 8, for you, you probably don't put yourself there very often. Like, you only do that for the people in your inner circle.
Sure.
And I think that's healthy in some ways. I wish I had more of that. But I have to be careful, like you said, Gavin, you know, having those 5 close friends, and you give it all for them.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Like, you give it all for them, and you, if they're not reaching out, you're going to reach out to them. They're the ones that you remember all the dates for, whether it's they lost a parent, they lost a child. Like, you're going to remember those dates for them and just check in on them. If you did that with everybody, you wouldn't have close relationships, really, because no one would know where they stand with you. But I think it comes back to, we all need at least one person in your life.
I think the idea, like Gavin's saying, about defining community, because a lot of times in Christian circles, we go, oh, you need community, which we instantly means being in a really good small group, and then your church, you know, is your community. Yeah, I definitely don't see it like that for me. My community is the few 5 people in my life that I would take a bullet for, you know, and without hesitation. Like, that's my community. So I do have community, but it's like super small,
and that's okay,
and it's and it's like selective, you know, and it's not even necessarily church based, you know.
Right. But I'll also say, like you were saying earlier, I don't need people to speak into my tell me what I need to do, what I don't do. And even this woman you were reading an email from, but I think you both too will admit you have your inner circle, and you do want to hear feedback from those people, because those people you trust.
Right.
And I know as an 8, you have a hard time trusting anyone. Like,
correct,
they kind of have to prove themselves before they get into that inner circle.
You don't like just any old schmuck telling you how things should be and what should be done.
And that's fine. That's good. That's actually something I wish I could be more of. But I'm saying, you actually, when you say you don't need people speaking in, you do.
Right.
It's just only the people that you trust.
Right.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when I say, oh, I don't care what people think about me, but that's...
You do.
That's not true, because ultimately I do. On some level,
but it's
care
just those 5
it.
People.
Right.
And that's it.
Yeah. That's a really good distinction, because I definitely will take... Like, I've gotten better about, like, listening to my wife on things that originally I didn't necessarily think she had a grasp of. Like, I thought I had more expertise than she did. And so... And the arrogance thing, like, I would be like, well, I know what I'm doing. I don't need your opinion on this. I just need to do this. But I've learned over the course of time, she has a really good insight on things that, like, she doesn't build things like I build things, but she could walk out and go, well, why don't you try it like this? Mm-hmm. And before, it used to frustrate me. And like, I'd be staring at a problem for a while. She'd walk out and go, well, how about that? I'm like, okay, look, I just need to work this out. Would you please just leave me alone, go inside? And then I'd do what she said. And then she'd come back out and be like, ah, you're right. You know? And so now, like, I've started, especially we've been doing some home projects together, and I've been like taking her counsel. Like, okay, what do you think about this? Like, your opinion matters, because you've proven to me over time that you know what you're talking about.
Well, and that she has your best interest at heart. She's not going to just throw things out there just to make you angry.
Right.
So,
and that's the thing. Trust with eights is super important. Like, you have to trust the people because you're suspect of everyone, you know?
Right.
And even sometimes even people that are close to you, you have to guard yourself against being suspect.
But also when it comes to relationships, I think this is with anybody. You need to have things that you differ in. Like, they are good at something while you are not, or you're good at something and they're not. But if they're in your inner circle, you know that they are looking out for you. They are looking out for your best interests. It is good to seek counsel from them because there are things that they see it differently that you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And you can trust that because they're good people.
Because that's the thing. Like, I don't consider my small group my inner circle, where a lot of people, they do find that from them. My small group is a group of people I see once a week. All of them super nice people, super kind people. And we do the meal trains and we help each other out. But they're not people that I go to when I'm like, man, I'm dealing with something or whatever. Like, they're not my go-tos for that. And I think some people look at that and go, well, you don't have community then. It's like, no, I have it over here.
Yeah.
And maybe I should have it there, but no. I just don't. It's you know, it's
okay.
A thing we do.
There's no universal blanket concept of community. And I think that people, especially at church, I do think churches try very hard to get you into a quote unquote community. And they want that to look, not want that, but they envision that being small group.
Because they're supposed to be your best friends now. And I'm like, I don't do anything with any of them outside of small group.
If they're supposed to be your best friends. I think it's just that I think anyone will admit, being a Christian in a fallen world, it's so easy to backtrack and think, I can handle this on my own, when really you can't. Like, it's easier to go the wrong way than it is the right way. And so when you are surrounded by people who are going the right way as well, it's easier to go that way. So that's the point of small groups, is to help you keep accountable.
Yeah. And I think it's a better pitch for people who are feeling lonely and have a hard time making friends in the community, where they're like, hey, like, you can go to this small group and they literally can't turn you away.
Yes, they have to invite you in.
Yeah.
But you see people like, they're like, we watch videos all the time at work. Like, I came to church here. I got plugged into my small group. I got cancer. My small group was there every step of the way.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, I know, like, and like we would do for them, and we have, like, when someone gets sick, we do the meal thing and stuff. And if someone said, hey, you know, can you come mow my lawn? My husband's, yeah, absolutely. I'll totally do that. Not without question, you know, and I think that there's like that level of it. But then there are those other people that find that small group and they're like, they carried me through and I could not have got through without this. And that's a good thing. Like, that's healthy for them.
Right.
You know?
And I don't know what the difference is between, I've been in small groups where mainly it's single girls, and I've been in some where I was in it for years and I just never felt like I clicked with people.
Sure.
And I don't want to sound like I'm tooting my own horn, but I do feel like, because I work in radio, it is easy for me to carry on conversations with just anyone and ask questions, get to know people. I don't feel like it's too hard for me to get out there and get to know people. But for some reason, I don't have any control over who I hit it off with and who I don't.
Yeah.
And then I go to another small group who I'm with currently, and it's like everyone I have clicked with.
That's good.
And I don't know what that difference is. I don't know if it was a God thing or if it's just a personality thing. I'm not sure. But there was a book I just got done reading.
You're reading a lot lately.
I am. I'm getting really into psychology books. This one is called, How to Deal with the Narcissist in Your Life. And
Why would ever possess you to get that?
Why are you getting that way?
Why
I wasn't
did you
looking
buy that
at
book?
You. I wasn't pretending it was about you. I wasn't.
Who else in your life is a narcissist? One person.
No, I can't name names because there's a possibility that could be listening. But there are some people in my life that I question. That I question, perhaps they might have narcissistic tendencies. Okay.
Yes.
Ultimately, I read the whole book, and really what it comes down to are narcissists are really just insecure people that need others to validate them and tell them how great they are, because they have no inner value. Anyways, all that to say, one of the things that it was talking about, because it talked about creating boundaries, is, and I think that the same practice could go for choosing who's in your inner group. And that is, it said, pick five things that you would go to bat for, that you would never compromise for. That could be your job. It could be your family, your friends, your kids, things like that. And then whatever is in that boat that exceeds over five, push them out of the boat. And these are things, you're not pushing them out of the boat to say, you don't matter to me, you're dead to me. You're doing, those things are still floating around you, but you're willing
keeps
to compromise.
The boat afloat.
You're willing to compromise a little bit on those things. Mm-hmm. But the five things in the boat, you won't compromise on because they're important to you. They give your life direction and meaning. Mm-hmm. So I think the same could be said for your inner circle. Those five people, and maybe you can't even make it to five, and that's fine too. But maybe you have those five people in your boat that you're like, I would take a bullet for these people.
Right.
And the other people around you, you'll help like meal trains and things like that or mow their lawn, but these five people you will go to bat for. And I think that's healthy. I think in some ways that's a good way to create boundaries.
Or as Wally says, take a bullet for them.
Yeah, your inner circle is the people you take a bullet for. The people on the next ring are the people you use as shields. So.
Totes. And you're hoping you run faster because the bear will eat
healthy
them.
Healthy solutions right here.
I really want to look into Betty Rock's Amazon account right now and see what her next book in her cart is. It's probably like, so you work with a jerk, now what? You know?
Or she's got earplugs in there. Yeah.
Someone's feeling a little insecure. This reminds me of something I read in a recent book.
About narcissists. Yeah, see, we've come full circle.
You're gonna be great one day. You're gonna use your psychology degree. You're gonna have like this office and this whole wall. You're gonna be like, this is my Wally wall.
Yeah.
This is how I'm gonna help you. This is my wall for AIDS.
That's so funny. That's a great conversation. I really enjoyed that.
You know what we should do? And I'm just thinking out loud. I'm wondering if we should turn the Aftercast into instead of talking about
therapy.
Things in the news, no, talking about things in the news or talking about things that are in celebrity type world.
Sure.
What if we turned it into, there's a certain topic we're going to talk about and it's just a life topic.
Right.
And I would say this one would be your inner circle.
Right. Yeah. Oh no, I don't mind doing that. Like I actually like these conversations.
I do too.
More so, but then it's like, okay, every day you got to figure that stuff out.
That's true. Well, maybe every now and then, maybe once a week we think of something and
cause I don't always,
go
I,
with it.
I don't always,
want to dive deep.
Yeah. Well, no, just put that kind of thought in.
This one came from
another fantastic potty. So
it's different if we're sitting here being like, today we're going to talk about
a
really heavy abortion topic or something.
Yeah, that would be fun.
No.
Mike Tyson. So we'll get back to him. Mike Tyson, he is not going to be charged for punching that guy. So he was on a flight in first class. I finally saw the video and the guy was just egging him on. And the guy sitting behind him, and I can't believe it's happening in first class too. And he finally has enough, and he turns around, he punches the guy. Like, yeah, I guess he cut his forehead and stuff. But they said leading the decision from the police was, we will not follow any charges against Mr. Tyson based on the circumstances surrounding the confrontation. These include the conduct of the victim leading up to the incident and the interaction between them, as well as both parties have asked that no charges be filed. That's interesting. Like the other guy who got the beat down was like, okay, don't file any charges, please. Like, I've been through enough. I don't even know where I live.
Feels like he walked out with the best case scenario of being punched by Mike Tyson.
Yeah, it's a good story.
Cuts on the face, a story you get to tell. Though, I have a feeling he's not like a splendid fellow.
No, he seemed like kind of a tool shed, but you are instantly the most interesting person with that story with new people that you meet.
You can one up a lot of people.
Yeah, so what's interesting though about this is like the guy taunting Tyson was like kind of a skinny, nerdy looking dude, and I don't know what his plan was beyond all this. Maybe he wanted to get punched to go viral or something. I don't know, but I think people need to learn that your words can have consequences. Like you go like picking a fight with Tyson, well, you got that, you know. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, you know, people are like, oh, someone broke into my house and then they got shot and then now they're suing me. Like, no, you broke into my, you started this, and you and so it didn't turn out the way you wanted. Sorry, you know, life's
tough. I think
tough.
The difference is that there were a lot of people there to witness it.
Yeah.
And that probably made the difference. Had it just been the two of them,
or maybe
just one other person, it would be like, he said, she said kind of
thing. And
then
Tyson would have taken the hit, you know, like,
but people saw this guy like throwing a water bottle at him calling him names.
The funny thing is, like, talking about words having consequences, and you're like, Tyson gets off for this because the guy was basically taunting him, and then Tyson punched him and gets off for it. If you look at Will Smith, like, so what's his name? Chris Rock. taunts, takes a joke at his wife.
His wife.
Smith hits him, and Smith then gets, you know, railed on for it. So it's really interesting because, again, this is letter of the law versus spirit of the law, but it's two very similar circumstances in that somebody's actions or their words got them punched, and one came out okay and the other did not.
But they, if you remember, Chris Rock was asked by police if he wanted to file
press charges. Yeah, right. And he did not.
And he didn't.
Right.
So Will Smith could have been the guy that was hitting Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
But he still took more of a punishment, though, from
the world is a lot more angrier at him than they are with Mike Tyson. But with Mike Tyson, you're talking about a guy who you're like, oh yeah, like, you know, he, of course he hits people. That's that was his job for most of his life.
That's his default reaction.
Yeah,
you know?
Will Smith is a kind, funny social media jokey guy.
Just goes to show that they don't. Maybe society doesn't see what Chris Rock did as bullying, but they do see what happened to Mike Tyson as bullying.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, Rock, what do you got?
I don't even remember what do I have.
Something with music.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
So, yes.
Stranger Things, it's a Netflix show in the 80s. I know Gavin and I have watched it. We've been telling Wally he needs to watch it because I think he would like it.
You would like it.
You love the 80s, and this is all about the 80s. But anyways, they're set to release their fourth season later this month, and it's going to be in two parts. Did you know that?
Yeah, it's like one part this month, the next either in June or July.
July.
Nice.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But anyways, to celebrate the occasion, Netflix has partnered with Doritos, the chip, to bring us Doritos Music Fest 1980.
Oh, so a flashback concert thing?
Yeah, so it's a virtual concert featuring many acts from the 80s whose music we've heard in the past seasons because they're always playing 80s music in the show. So it'll include acts like The Go-Go's. It'll also involve Corey Hart.
Oh, fantastic. I wear my sunglasses at night so I can watch you live and breathe those storylines. I have no idea what he said that means there, but yeah.
And finally, Soft Cell.
Oh, yes. Once I ran to you. Love.
Now we even know what Teenage Wally was doing in his bedroom
The thing with this song is when you would hear it, you'd be like in this club and like they'd kick this
they'd
song
play
on.
This
and,
in a club?
Oh, yeah. And everyone's like, yeah. And so it was all the goth girls at the time, too. So they would all be in all black and eyeliner. And then the guys would be there, too. And everybody kind of doing the Charlie Brown, like, pogo. But then it would be like, take my tears and that's not really all. Hands would go up and everyone would spin around and get really emotional.
And say Tainted Love.
Tainted Love. Wow. Okay, this is great.
Well, anyways, this concert is going to involve all three of those acts, plus a few more. And if you would like to go or see it, like I said, it is virtual, so that means you can't go live. But you can register online or you can buy a bag of Doritos. Mm. And personally, I would say you need to go with the latter option, the Doritos option, because some of the bags have been stuffed with a golden ticket. What does the golden ticket do?
I love golden ticket stuff.
Well, it gives you the chance to win a replica of a guitar that will appear here in Stranger Things season 4.
That's neat. Okay, I'd like to know what guitar that is. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
And if your ticket to a concert is a Doritos bag, that's a pretty good day.
Yeah. It's a win-win. Doritos, you eat Doritos today while you're watching the show.
Now, you did a virtual concert that you paid for and you were not impressed.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty much what it was to me was a bunch of music videos that were all put together.
Yeah.
And I could tell it wasn't live.
Yeah.
And to me, I was expecting them at least doing an acoustic set, and them being on stage and maybe talking to the audience, but it really was just kind of like a long music video. And I just...
Yeah, COVID messed up a lot of things for like that. Everyone was trying so hard to consume music and feel normal. And so bands would do things and that one missed the mark. And other bands did it well. But then it got to the point where you're like, oh, great, another Zoom concert. And you just didn't care anymore.
Well, you were just tired of being on Zoom.
Oh,
especially if you had to do it for work.
It was
tiring. You don't want to do it for entertainment.
Yeah. Well, all right. Speaking of entertainment, that part's over. Now, birthdays. Birthdays.
Brayton would like to wish Sister Mara a happy birthday. He said, "Oh, Mara.
Oh,
it's
hey, Mara.
Like it's like Sarah, but with an M.
Oh,
Mara.
M's are
Sarah, but Mara.
Like it.
Said she's a wonderful sister who loves knitting, vet shows.
Nice
vet shows.
Yeah, like veterinarian shows
or vet as in like
Vietnam vet. No, yeah. Veterinarian vet. Shows
and yeah, the Wally show. Could you sing her the birthday song?
Oh, absolutely. Happy birthday from all of us to you.
Hey. Have any of you ever knit? If so, what was your favorite thing that you knit?
No. I tried it once. My wife wanted to learn how, and she'll ask me to try things that are like, you've got to figure out kind of thing. Because mm-hmm. I'm typically better at figuring things out, especially if I can watch a video. And I tried it. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it to save my life. I was horrible at it. And my sister knits. She'll knit you a sweater. Like, it's the craziest mm-hmm. thing. We had some girl that knit us all things for the show, which I
love.
Yeah. Like,
oh, yeah,
she
like went a through, little teddy bear and a...
Yeah, each of our personalities. I still love that. I have it on my office in my desk today.
Gavin?
I think in fourth grade, I may have knit an ornament for Christmas for my mom.
Checks out.
But at school or on your own?
At school. Oh. It's like a school project.
Okay. I hope so, yeah.
I've never chosen
to
knit.
You were over there just saying, I couldn't figure it out. I was trying so hard.
I wasn't like I wanted to take up knitting.
I wish I could knit.
I didn't take it
off. He wasn't. His teacher told him
he
had to.
Yeah, I was like five.
Yeah, okay. That's good.
I do knit.
You can knit still?
I can. The craziest thing, what? I did it a lot when I was working at the daycare, when I had that job. There was a girl that I was working with, and she was knitting during nap time. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, I want her to teach me how to do it. So she did. She taught me. And
what have you knitted?
I did do a baby blanket. Okay. I did some Afghans, washcloths or whatever. The craziest, though, was I did make a little booty for babies. So okay. those little... Boots.
Baby booties.
Little shoes.
Yeah, like the little shoes. Aww. And I would use the babies in my class as models and like put them on their feet and see
awesome.
If they worked or
oh,
whatever.
That's great.
The only bad thing about knitting was that I could not fix my problem. So if I made a problem, like I skipped a row or something, I didn't know how to get it back. And so that would be so frustrating if you had spent hours doing this and then there it goes.
Yesterday, my life, somebody sent a picture of the bathroom floor that I had done because it came in sheets of tile. And I had watched all the sheets because sometimes they would put the wrong color in the wrong place. Every once in a while, like three tiles out of all of them. Sure enough, I put one of those sheets down. I went home. Betty Rock showed it to me and just giggled the whole time I went home and looked at it. Sure enough, there's that one color tile that's out of place.
You posted a video on our socials.
Drove me nuts.
Really?
Just search Wally Show. But I was just amazed at how many people actually took the time to notice your mistake.
Yeah.
So they said, oh, great, but did you notice? Blah, 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 blah.
I know.
So the tile is like these little circles, and then there was one that was just the wrong color.
Out of like 1,000 tiles.
And I didn't even notice it.
Yeah.
But one person noticed it on Facebook, and I think three more on Instagram. And so I tell you this, and you're like, she photoshopped that.
I thought she did. I was hoping.
But sure enough, and what was so funny is you're just sitting in your desk chair, and you're just like, oh, this has ruined my day.
It did.
And you go home and you check, and sure enough.
She was right.
Let me see.
It's one little tile.
I literally don't see it.
It should be a gray tile, and they put a white one there. And so,
do I need to go down a little?
Play it a little bit. Okay, it's right there.
Yeah. And I'm going to, one tile.
So
and it's ruined the entire floor.
Oh, no.
It's a tiny little 1-inch tile, not even an inch. And so
are
now,
you gonna fix it?
I would never notice.
I know. I'm going to have to. I haven't been telling my wife because I wanted to see if my wife notices it. Because I know if she hasn't noticed it, I'm going to have to fix it the minute she does. If she has and she just didn't say anything because she didn't want to frustrate me, then that's kind of cool, and I can live in that ignorance and be fine.
But then the next time you have a guest over,
you're
going to be so insecure about they're going to notice it.
My friend Molly will notice it. Yeah. Molly will notice it the second she walks in because she's super observant.
I told Wally he should just rub some dirt on it or just color it the color that it needs to be.
You'll get a gray Sharpie.
That's what I do.
Yeah, I think I can fix it without a ton of work, but enough. But
I don't know. You were talking about the fixing.
It's about five steps to get it out of there and get
it
fixed.
Sounds difficult.
But yeah. Anyway, so that was my day yesterday. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for your aftercast. Thanks so much for being a potty.